I'm so hungry.
Hi, hungry.
I ate lunch at like 1.
Oh, really?
I've not eaten anything else since then.
That's not a good move.
No, and I do it like every day.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that asks, Your Honor, did your client commit the crime or not? I disagree. Or, secondary bit, I'm going to backstab, front stab, side stab, upside down stab, all the stabs.
Wow, and not even the Philip one with the brown rice. You had so many
options. There's so many bits.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, how you doing?
Yeah, this episode is just all bits.
I guess I said stab. He said
front
blind
side.
Side. Yeah. Front side, back side, 360.
360 no-scope side.
How you doing, Jared?
I'm okay. I don't know. It's the false spring has been a nice little boon to like get out of the winter depression, and now I'm like, ah, shit, I still have regular depression.
You don't say.
God damn it. You hate to see it.
You hate to see it.
But, you know, nevertheless, we persist.
Nevertheless, we continue.
You have no other option. No, like, very overwhelmed, I would say, like, with the number of things I have going on.
I feel that.
Yeah, and, like, the executive function part of it. Like, mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. doesn't even really factor into it, because I don't make decisions for this. But, like...
You just show up, do the job, get out of here.
I just yap. But the...
And as we were told, you're a certified yapper.
What?
I believe you said this before.
Probably. That sounds like me.
You got your certification in yappage.
Went to the island of Yap and everyone knew you. But yeah, no, the, like... We're producing a lot of stuff for Black Cat. We're actually probably producing twice as much stuff as we did last year. And my work has gotten to the point where I am doing a lot more executive decision-making. Not like I'm not an executive, but like I have to use a lot more executive function to make decisions rather than like doing operational stuff. Like I'm starting to sort of pass off some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, oh my God, all day, every day, I make so many decisions and I'm starting to feel like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'm not becoming an asshole.
I mean, becoming.
I fucking knew you had to be. I'm gonna.
Hi, I'm Steven, and I have jokes. I'm Steven, and I have jokes. That's hard to do.
How are you doing, Steven? Yeah, I know. I'm committed to it.
I also just feel a little overwhelmed. There's a lot going on, just life and around the world.
Yeah.
So trying to just survive it one day at a time.
Outlast.
You got me, Jared. But we are, let's see, this comes out Thursday, less than a week away from Survivor 50 premiere.
That's cool.
That is cool.
That means nothing for me.
It means nothing for you.
Excited for all of you.
They're doing a scavenger hunt thing. Like, there's 50 scavenger hunts in one in each state.
Oh.
And the Illinois one drops this weekend. So
some states have an advantage.
How so?
Would you rather try to do a scavenger hunt in Illinois or Rhode Island?
Well, here's the thing. I have pretty strong certainty that it's not going to be too far from here.
Sure, it's going to be around the population centers.
It's going to be in Chicago.
Yeah.
And even the clue that they showed makes it look like it's... They didn't show a clue. I shouldn't say that. They have a blurred black and white image that someone went in and like decoded a little bit that is... I don't know if it's a stock image or if it's just one that somebody took. It's the like a very zoomed in raised CTA line.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
So I'm assuming it's around the loop.
Is this like one person finds it, or is this like, is this for everybody to find?
Anyone can find it, but it's for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And
you get a prize?
That's the thing, is if they draw a name from the people who, quote-unquote, found it.
Heard.
And the winner gets to go to the 50
reunion
finale. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
That'd be fun. That's what I'm planning on doing this weekend.
So there'd be 50 people, assuming they do it in every state,
yep,
and none of the territories or anything.
Correct.
That get to go to, and that makes sense for 50 as well. Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so that still stands true, though, because your odds are way better in Wyoming than they are in California of being the one who's drawn randomly.
Yeah, I would probably rather do a state like North Dakota than Wyoming, where Wyoming is so vast.
True.
But you're right. They could have put it in population center. The one that I did look up, because I was like, oh, I was just in Arizona. Maybe the Arizona one will happen while I'm there. No, but it was not a population center.
I got a spoiler, or possible spoiler, for Survivor, but I don't know any context, from the weirdest place. And that would be the script that we picked for our staged reading plus for Black Cat Theater.
Jared, no.
But, well, here's the thing, though. They could be made up names. Because it's just two people that are like have had a lot of conflict or like tension leading up, and so they're trying to like, and they were friends, so they're like breaking the ice, and they're talking about an episode of Survivor, and they talk about somebody playing an aisle for somebody, but it also could just be names that they made up because
that's wild.
Yeah, and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Can I ask? Do you remember the names?
One of the names is Javier.
Okay.
But I don't remember the other one. Christina. Javier and Christina.
Cool.
Where it's like, when he played his idol for Christina, and I'm like, okay. Now, the good news is, this is a very new script.
Okay.
So, if that's a real thing, I'm guessing it's in the 40s, and I won't remember it by the time we get there.
Who's to say?
I hardly remembered it right now, and I read it yesterday.
Yay! That's a good point. You won't remember shit when we actually get to... Unless there's this little thing carving out in your brain
yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I mean, like... We will get through, like, if that is true and it's in the 40s, then that will be 20 seasons from now. There will be so many more names that have entered and left my head by then.
Okay.
But that, I was like, you're fucking kidding me, right? Like, in a script?
You gotta be fucking me. But fucking me.
But fucking. Anyway.
I don't want to use that as the transition. Say something else, Jared.
But... What else could I say?
Okay, well, there you go. You know what else you could say? Emails! If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT. Follow us on Patreon, give us $1, and you can watch all of our episodes.
We did more, I don't know when you're uploading it, but we did more Deltarune.
We did. We
with Steven at the helm.
Yes, I'm in. I'm playing the Deltarune. You have access to this. I've definitely sent you manager request.
I just forgot.
Oh, okay, cool.
I forgore.
Yes, we did Deltarune. Hoping more things coming. We have an episode of Double Indemnity. Was that what?
Yes.
Yes. So we got to watch that sometime soon. And go follow us on Patreon. Anyway, first email from Michael C. Episode 4 and 5 email. Jared's reaction to Russell leaving and singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead is how a lot of people felt watching the season. By this point, there are very few Russell Glazers left, but the ones who were fed into the Zapatero was dumb to throw a challenge. No wonder they started losing narrative, even though they won immediately after Russell was booted and only lost due to poor challenge choices and not like some karmic justice for daring to throw a challenge.
Right, I guess, and this gets into the episode, but Jeff says they lost 3 out of the last 4, which is only one more than half, to be fair. But I will say that David kind of brings it up, and I had it in my notes at some point, and I agree with him. They did have a unifying theory of fuck that guy that did bring them together stronger as a tribe. So there is a kernel of truth in that Russell, or throwing the challenge to get rid of Russell, hurt the tribe, but it's because they no longer had a common enemy.
Krista just seemed like a pretty unpleasant and sour person to deal with out there, according to the Zapatero's post show.
Yeah.
She just kind of sulked while Stephanie at least tried to integrate with them. And okay, I'm gonna interject. Part of that might be just out of necessity. Like, once Krista was gone, who else are you gonna...
Sure.
You gotta do something.
I think Stephanie's also shown to be at least okay navigator of the game intellectually, and then it seems like her emotions get really high and she makes bad decisions.
Yeah, don't we all? And I blame the two of them and Russell for creating a narrative that the show can use of the 6 not playing the game, because as you know, it really oversimplifies internal dynamics, which we've now seen a little bit more as Zapatero has come into focus more. But basically, Julie, Mike, Steve are a trio, Sarita, Ralph are a duo, and David's kind of a floater in between, which, I mean, kind of is highlighted in this episode we just watched.
Yep.
I actually really dislike Julie for her karma confessionals and just generally wishy-washy behaviors. I really don't like David, so part of my dislike for this middle chunk of the season is the heavy focus on the two of them. By the same token, I randomly love Sarita.
Huh.
Who grew up in a yurt, of all things.
Huh. Sarita, not with her, like, words, but with her face and facial reactions, reminds me a lot of Vic Michaelis.
Oh, interesting. And then Steve is a low-key, sneaky, funny guy. I like that. Finally, Ralph tried to make Rooster his show nickname, but it never really caught on.
Ah, that's for the best.
You can see vestiges of it in his crowing post-challenge win moments.
You can't give yourself a nickname. Like, it must be bestowed upon you. I know some people come into the show with nicknames, mm-hmm. but those are nicknames people in their life gave them.
Mm-hmm. Jared, give yourself a nickname right now.
Beaties.
Beaties nuts.
It was for diabetes, but okay.
Oh, no. All right, well.
That was actually my wrestling nickname.
Why?
Because I had diabetes and high school boys aren't very creative.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I didn't mind it. It was fine. Either that or Sheldon, so I'll take it.
When did Big Bang Theory come out?
Around that time. Oh, okay. I mean, probably like mid-high school, I want to say. Maybe. I don't know. It's the forever show.
It is.
That's just kind of always existed, yeah. Unfortunately.
But you never know when it actually showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Jared. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jared. Hey, yeah. Jared.
Yes,
Steve. Hey, Jared. Hey, Jared.
No, the worst was I worked at Subway when that dude got caught being a pedophile.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, it was tough.
Did you have a name tag that said Jared?
Not for long.
Thank God.
I quit. Not because of that. It was just good timing.
As for Ometepe and the Philip of it all, I give him a bit of grace being the only black man in the game. However, that being said, he seems very hard to live with and does themes seemingly just to get airtime and get on TV. As for Andrea, Jared is in with how a lot of people see or how a lot of people feel about her. She has a lot of promise from what she's shown us so far. Anyway, that's all for now. Great listen as always, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. From Dawson. Dawson's episode 6 email. Hi, guys. Glad Jared is enjoying the season so far. The Survivor fandom's groupthink can get out of hand sometimes. Again, I'm going to point to some unnecessary hatred for a lot of players that I'm like, I don't know, they didn't really do anything wrong. But looking at Survivor 50, dead in the mouth.
Mm. Yeah, that is the thing with returnee seasons, is that everyone that got a spot took a spot away from your favorite person.
Yeah.
So it adds some hate.
There's a big muscly guy that I'm watching who had some like genuinely touching moments that it almost unanimously panned. So many people hate him, and I'm like, what a weird thing to rally against. Like, the guy is the least controversial player we've seen in a while.
Oh, wow, okay.
Like, he's just a good guy.
He's just a guy being a dude.
Everyone hates him.
Weird. Okay.
Weird. Whatever. I'm sure I'm going to get opinions on this. I think this season actually has a lot to offer and talk about, and I'm truly enjoying your recaps of it. That's good.
Thank you, Dawson.
I'm having fun with this, too.
When does it get bad? Like, I'm starting to feel like this is a joke being played on me. a long-form joke that people have been planting for 2 years that, like, oh, no, this one's bad. It's good so far.
Since I'm running out of Survivor hot takes, here's a question for this week. If you were a new player on a season like this with returning player captains, which former player would you most likely to ally with deep into the game, and which would you be most likely to target early? You can choose anyone who's played up to this point.
Oh, that's so good.
That is a good question.
Do you have an answer, Steven? Because there's so many. I mean, I feel like we need to throw out the obvious one. Like, Russell's the one I would target early.
Oh, 100%.
I think that's just low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, go with to the end because I think they're good, or go with to the end because I think they're a goat?
That is the question. So what I would do probably is unfortunately what Survivor All-Stars did and go with, yes, a returning player that won the game that is not physically strong. I'm going to take out, Tina. I'm going to take Tina out, immediately.
Okay.
You're too likable. I need you gone.
Interesting. I would take BB to the end. no, I'm kidding. I would probably try to take another guy that I thought I could physically beat, but not by much. Mm. Like, I don't know if I'm stronger than Aris, but I'm thinking of the Aris and Terry dynamic where it's like you had to keep Aris around because otherwise Terry would make a run. So I would try to bring somebody with me that would make it so that I would not be I would be needed to be the physical threat. And there's a bunch of people you could do that with. Like you could do Ethan, or I'm just thinking through like people who've won or people who've come back, like Colby, although not so much in Heroes versus Villains. I'd probably honestly take out like Suri first, or like anybody that I thought was smarter than me, which is a long list to be fair, but anybody that I thought could manipulate the people around me better than I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. You play the dance of the like strategic threats, the people who are, you don't want to let them get anywhere out ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Parvs that we've seen, I would maybe take out Parv pretty early.
That's fair. Yeah.
But maybe I want to keep a Yule kind of a person around because I think he is, like, a good strategy person. But I also think a little bit loyal to a fault where I could undercut him if I needed to.
Hot take, I'd want to keep Ozzy around because I think that he's a bit of a fuckboy. And it would... Despite the fact that his final tribal in Cook Islands is really good, I think he would have a hard time getting a lot of jury votes after play, like after the other couple times he's played. So I would probably try to keep him.
For the record, I did not read this before I answered that. So
Suri, I might actually want to keep around because I'd just be like, you can win. That's fine. One of us. Let's do it.
If I had my pick of the litter, I'd want to align with either Yule or Sandra and vote out Richard.
Yeah. Hatch is a good one.
Don't keep around Hatch.
Although Hatch might be a good shield.
Depending on how he has acted in the game, he might be a shield.
Because you also don't want, like, you can only shield so much before their stink rubs off on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dawson.
That's a great question. Thank you.
From JB, what's up? It's been a while since I've emailed, as I have been waiting for an opportunity to send in my animal facts.
Hell yeah.
But after hearing Jared's horrendous smear campaign against my darling pigeons, I had to write in and set the record straight.
I said I like pigeons. I just don't want people to feed them near me.
The main zoonotic diseases that spread from animal to people, you hear in regard to birds is avian influenza, bird flu. However, a research study has shown that pigeons are highly resistant to avian influenza, with no lab-infected pigeons displaying major symptoms or transmitting the disease. I've included the link to the study if interested. This is the science bullshit that I'm all for. Like, we're a Survivor podcast, and I'm getting, like, links to studies.
Because I made an offhanded comment about the old lady who feeds pigeons in my neighborhood.
Hell yeah, we've attracted the nerds. The nerds are here. I love all of it.
Yeah, Steven, we hyper-targeted an audience of nerds and neurodivergent people by doing every single episode of a show that's been on the air for 25 years.
Other common avian infections such as, I'm going to screw this up, histoplasmosis and cryptococcus have only one reported transmission from a pigeon ever worldwide. To sum it up, as long as you're not going around licking up heaps of pigeon shit off the ground, the chances of disease transmission from pigeons is minuscule to negligible.
Okay.
Pigeons are also incredibly smart. They have been shown to recognize and identify individuals in photographs, and using specialized cells in their ear, they can use Earth's magnetic field to navigate while flying.
That rocks. I will say that them being so smart is part of the problem. I remember eating lunch downtown during the pandemic, and so I was working downtown, so I was like eating outside, and the pigeons knew not to fear people anymore, so they would get so fucking close to my food trying to grab it. And I'm like, no, leave me the fuck alone.
Did I show you the video of the ground squirrel that would like... not afraid of us even slightly?
You told me the story.
Oh, okay.
On the podcast, because I said Alina was there.
That's right. Anyway, so put some respect on pigeon's name, Jared.
I respect them and I fear them. Birds in general, I have like a visceral reaction towards. I don't know, like small birds or like medium sized birds, like a hawk. I'm afraid of, like, because that's a predator. But like, I'm not grossed out by, but like birds that are like medium sized for some reason I am. Maybe it's just indoctrination. Maybe it's the anti-pigeon agenda.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Okay, sorry. There's still more of the email, but I'm going to ask the question. Pigeon or seagull?
Oh, pigeon.
As one that you like more?
I'm actually objectively pigeon, but like environment, seagull. I don't see as many seagulls in really gross areas of the city as I see pigeons that will just like eat, run over rats in the alleyways.
You're right, but seagulls are like aggressively annoying.
I know that they're worse. I know that they're also probably grosser, but I haven't seen it. So I just, my body defaults to, seagull's probably better.
I feel like seagull will fight you for your food and scream at you as loud as it possibly can, where pigeon's like, I'll fucking do it if you let me.
That's true. I'll punch a seagull. I don't want it, but I'll do it.
Anyway, lastly, I know I'm late to the party, but wanted to share some Nicaragua fun facts. After the season aired, Nayonka and Dreams from Fiji did date. That's cool.
Oh, cool.
The Shannon tribal is one of the shortest tribals ever. Castaways have said, we basically saw the entire thing. They walk in, Shannon makes the comment towards Sash, Nayonka, and Fabio fight a bit, and then they vote.
Jeff was like, we need to get this over with and get this guy out of here.
I think Jeff wanted to get Shannon out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I remember listening to a Fair Play podcast talking about Winners at War. Preseason, Fabio was very excited about the theme and was hoping he would get his availability call soon.
Aww.
Fair Play then had to let him know that pre-production of the season had started and that the cast was finalized.
Aww.
Oh, sad to find that out on podcast. I always felt bad for Fabio, as he basically has been ghosted by Survivor.
That sucks.
Sad boy. Sad golden retriever boy.
Yeah.
That's all for now. You'll hear from me next time. I have animal facts.
Thank you for the animal facts.
Animal facts. And I have a couple messages from Reddit, from Bro My God, on the topic of Australian Survivor. There were two seasons, 2001 and 2006, before it got canceled and rebooted under Channel 10 to the current iteration. Season 1, or technically 3, known as Australian Survivor 2016, was airing at the time. Survivor, oh, and I'm a, dang it, it's been so long since I've heard this said out loud. Korong 32.
You might have said that correct.
I hate you. Was wrapping up. I will pay for a $10 Patreon tier to listen to Australian Survivor recaps. Just saying. So there was like a full deep dive on the
subreddit
that I went through. And I agree with what a lot of people said, is we don't want to distract from our current objective, which is American Survivor.
American Survivor.
But if we get to a point where we're feeling good and like we want to like expand the podcast
the brand.
We can do like an Australian for the Patreon.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that is our best option. Sure. But we can't do it yet.
Considering the start of this podcast is you and I being like, we're totally overwhelmed with all the things we have going on in our lives.
Yeah, here we are. And want to hear a fun fact? This is a separate message. Want to hear a fun fact that about Love Island and Survivor? Survivor and Love Island USA have both filmed in Fiji, with the Love Island Villa, specifically in season 6 and 7, being located on the same property used for Survivor's Ponderosa, where eliminated contestants stay.
They need to send them as the hot new singles that enter the villa.
The locations are so close that contestants have reported hearing the villa and seeing its lights from their own, as noted in a 2025 E! News report.
Hilarious.
Love Island 5 would be post Survivor 40, so we're talking new era Survivor, but it's interesting that this happened. Speaking of love, Jared, do we have an update on Bachelor in Paradise? I want to hear your thoughts.
We've only watched the two, I think, right now.
Yeah, for the record,
Lala's very busy.
Jared comes to my house and watches Bachelor in Paradise with my spouse.
Yep.
While I sit there and play video games.
Steven kind of watches, but tries to pretend he isn't.
I am there for the vibes and friendship.
And because Michaela makes you.
And eventually when the old people get there, that will be entertainment for me.
That, it looks like that's next episode, but I thought that last episode too.
Okay. Also, if you want to see another messy dating show, might I suggest Love is Blind on Netflix?
No, Michaela and I have watched most of those.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth watching one season, but I keep getting sucked in with the Next Time On trailers after the first episode. At least I got my wife sucked into it with me so we can both laugh about it.
No, Michaela and I watched a bunch of those. We watched Ultimatum, but I've not seen Queer Ultimatum yet. And we watched a little bit of Farmer Wants a Wife. We liked the reality, the trash reality TV shows when we both had more free time.
Bachelor in Paradise is dumb, stupid fun.
Yes.
I can get behind that.
And it knows that it's dumb, stupid fun.
Love is Blind gets me a little in that ick factor where I'm like, oh, these people are ruining their lives. They don't know it.
Yeah, there's also been reports that like they kind of like force alcohol down their throat where it's like they don't give them enough food and they oversupply them with alcohol to try to get them to get drunk and then make messy decisions. It's like, okay.
Dating shows, man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? And that's all of our emails.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. We got a fun mix in there from dating shows, birds, and Survivor.
On the Survivor podcast.
And a bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on March 30th of 2011. Not a ton happened in the week between episodes. It was hard to find something. So I pulled Geraldine Ferraro passed away, American politician, but most importantly, the first female vice presidential nominee.
Oh.
1984. So it didn't go well.
No,
That's the one that the devil won all but one. So.
Which one, Jared?
Minnesota.
Correct.
It should be one of your proudest moments.
It is. Walter Mondale. Is that a proud moment? I don't know.
The number one song of the charts is still Born This Way. The top five movies are Rango, The Lincoln Lawyer, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, with something else, but it trails off because it's too long of a title, and I don't care because that's not the one we're doing this week. We're talking number two, number one, Limitless, but number two, Steven, Sucker Punch.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with Sucker Punch?
I've heard of Sucker Punch. I feel like it's in the vein of Kick-Ass, where it's like heavy violence, but it's like stylized violence.
So we're in a very nostalgic era of film for me, because this would have been right around the time that one of my closest friends was working at a movie theater.
Ooh.
And so we got to see everything for free. So I didn't see this one, but like I remember the giant cardboard cutout in their movie theater, and like, this is the era where I probably saw the most movies.
Jared admitting to crimes on podcast.
No, that wasn't a crime. We would go together and he would get free tickets because he worked there.
I thought he was just letting you in.
No. I mean, he would, but like, why would I
I mean, he definitely would.
I could just like go with him. But anyway, Sucker Punch. Locked away, a young woman named Baby Doll retreats to a fantasy world where she is free to go wherever her mind takes her. Determined to fight for real freedom, she finds four women, Rocket, Blondie, Amber, and Sweet Pea, to join
great
together.
Great band names.
Right? To join together to escape the terrible fate that awaits them. With a virtual arsenal at their disposal, the allies battle everything from samurais to serpents while trying to decide what price they will pay for survival. What do you think is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
Oh, I'm dancing with this one, Jared. Mm. I feel like it's good, but will it get the respect? I haven't seen this movie, for the record. Will it get the full respect from the audience? So I'm going to go a critic score of 85, an audience score of 82.
Okay, that's your locked in answer, but I'm going to give you one thing and see how much it changes your mind. It's directed by Zack Snyder.
Oh. are we dropping
the,
here?
The critic score is 23 and the audience is 47.
Fuck, this is as far off as I've been in a long time.
Yeah, the critic consensus being, it's technically impressive and loaded with eye-catching images, but without characters or a plot to support them, all of Sucker Punch's visual thrills are for naught. And this is the film. So that movie was popular. This is my understanding of it. I've also not seen the movie, but obviously, bad movie.
Release the Snyder Cut.
Well, it was the Snyder Cut.
Shit.
Zack Snyder used to make music videos, from my understanding, and Sucker Punch was a really good music video.
Sure.
And the trailers were very good, and that's kind of what his entire career has been, is just like, oh, you get a cool music video in the middle of a terrible movie.
Visually fun, narratively a mess.
Exactly. Yeah.
oops, all Snyders.
Fucking hate Zack Snyder. Anyway, that's it.
I have no hard feelings against Snyder, but I haven't watched like any of his movies.
Sure. I don't like artists that are all style, no substance.
Mm.
For the most part. There's some exceptions. If your style's cool enough, I and like that's what you're trying to do, but if you're trying to be deep and then you're just, anyway, it's a whole thing.
You just don't understand me, Mom.
Ah. I do have like some respect for Michael Bay because it's like, you know what you're doing.
Explosions.
You just want explosions.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Make it like cater to teen boys and that's fine.
Yeah. Anyway.
Put explosions and hot women in and there you go. I have movie.
That's it.
Should we get in?
Yeah.
All right. Episode 7. It don't take a smart one.
Okay. Thanks, Ralph. Boy, I don't want to stereotype Ralph, but Ralph stereotypes himself.
I don't know how you don't. Like,
I don't want to be like, haha, look at the dumb hillbilly. But like everything he does is that. I mean, like he's clever.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not smart. At least not in the classical standard book intelligence way, which is interesting.
This is an intelligence wisdom kind of a situation.
Kind of. Yeah, I guess. I don't even know if I'd consider him wise.
Yay. I backed you into a corner on that one.
Like, I think he's smarter than Big Tom, who's, I think, the easiest, like, analog to him. Like, I think, or at least more perceptive than Big Tom.
Mm-hmm. He's certainly got more game sense than Big Tom does.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Big Tom, fun to be around, and then when things go bad, not so fun to be around.
Not so fun to be around.
Mm. It's funny that we continue to bring back Russell.
Why is it still that the first thing they show in the recap is his fucking face? How long are we gonna do this for? He went home like 4 episodes ago.
I'm hoping that this is it, but I mean, obviously I don't sit and when I'm watching and like clock these recaps like I do for this podcast.
Yeah, but it's a choice that they're making. Like, the worst thing that could have happened to Russell's legacy was to come on and be a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was. And the show is desperately trying to make it seem like he wasn't a non-factor.
I think it's that, but it's also Jeff really trying to hammer home, don't throw challenges.
That's true too. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Don't fuck with the brand.
He really hates that.
He really does. We also get we're highlighting Dave versus Sarita. That's what the episode's going to be about.
That's what last episode was about too.
Yeah, so get ready. And tribes are even at 6, so
yeah.
Here we go. It's do or die time.
They get back from the tribal. Steve's trying to kumbaya it. You could just let it live.
Hey, guys, I know some feelings were aired tonight, and David and Sarita, I know you've had your differences.
Just give it a night, maybe. You don't even talk about this right back from tribal.
It's hard for people to just, like, go to bed after that.
Listen, I say that as somebody who, I would say on an almost weekly basis, at the best of times, sends the email or the text that I should have taken 20 minutes to think about and then send.
Mm.
I do it on a regular basis. So I get that it's hard.
All right, I'm going to do something a little out of order here, Jared.
Okay.
At any point during this episode, did you think that Sarita is going home?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, I knew it was a possibility, but the only reason why I would say I wasn't like completely locked in that it was going to be David or Philip, because I didn't know who's going to win the challenge,
sure,
truthfully. They get a pretty even amount of screen time, would be the Redemption Island thing of like, but do you send David, who's going to be really pissed off and might win? I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I definitely was like 70, 80% on the David's going home side.
Okay. Well.
Or sorry, going to Redemption Island side.
Exactly. David airing it out right away. I don't trust you, but I have no issues with you. He's so funny on this like lawyer technicality line.
Who is this for?
Like, I don't hate you. I just hate your gameplay. He doesn't say that, but that's what I'm analyzing.
It doesn't matter if you are technically correct on Survivor. It is how people feel it went.
What's the Futurama thing? Technically the correct, the worst kind of correct.
I think in Futurama it's the best kind of correct, but in this case, it is the worst kind of correct. There's no stenographer that's going to read back your words, David. Like, it's how they feel about how the conversation went. And, like, I don't understand what their beef is. Like, I think it is just truly interpersonal that David doesn't like Sarita, and Sarita, like, can at least somewhat likes David or hides it better.
Mm-hmm.
There, I don't know if there was something we didn't see. I'd be interested to hear what it was, but like, it seems like two people that just don't mesh well.
I mean, you throw back to that original blow up of the Sarita saying that David gets a little emotional during challenges.
Yeah, but was that the beginning of it, or was that just like the inflection point with a bunch of stuff that led up to that?
I have no idea.
And the show's making David out to be kind of an asshole, and he is kind of acting like an asshole.
I think both are correct, that yeah. he's over the top with this, but also he's kind of right.
This whole tribe, minus Ralph, talks very corporate, by the way. Mm. They are all using like neoliberal corporate speak of like, it's very weird. It feels like they're in a Zoom meeting at all times. But it's interesting. It's new. It's not something that like we've seen as much of, this like, oh, we're a dysfunctional work, like colleagues that are trying to just like get to the final six, even though we don't really like each other that much.
A ragtag group of individuals brought
of upper middle class corporate people
brought from all over America, from the best of places.
And Ralph. Because Ralph is not doing that.
Ralph's just there.
I don't know. Ralph doesn't. I think that they talk and Ralph doesn't understand what they're saying half of the time when they're using corporate speak. And I'm only saying that because he didn't know what cohesion meant.
That is. I mean, you're right.
I wouldn't have made that assumption without that conversation.
An active plot line that happens in this episode. Oh, boy. Yeah. And Sarita, again, I think you're right. The corporate talk here. I do love the constructive feedback, and I will work on it. It seems like Dave's showing that he could be a bit of an antagonist in this tribe. You don't say.
We think Dave just doesn't have enough synergy.
Synergy. I want to make like a poster that is just Synergy in the most obnoxious way possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I would put it or what I would do with it, but I think it'd be funny.
Sure.
Corporate Synergy.
I will say this is a good look, this episode and last episode, into why people usually bail, even if they wanted the vote to go the other way, if they know it's not going that way.
Mm.
Because Dave survives this episode, but it does put a lot of heat on him.
It does.
He voted for Sarita. And then continues to die on that hill,
yeah.
Which I guess at this point there's only the six of you left. Like, you gotta die on that hill at that point.
Do you gotta?
Someone's going home.
I mean, you're right. I think he plays the hand that he has to play here.
He could have set up a house on the hill. Instead, he chose to die on it.
Yeah. All right. We go over to Redemption Island for a little bit. Stephanie is just talking food.
That is the cheat code in Survivor to show that somebody is annoying.
Yeah.
Is show them talking to somebody about food with no context of how the conversation led up to that.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing that for 22 seasons now.
But there's two responses to it. There's the, oh my God, yes, let's go back and forth about food that we want to eat. Or the, I'm just going to let you talk and fantasize about this food.
But it's almost always the second one. If the first one is, it's one person talking about how annoying multiple people mm-hmm. are. Like, they've been doing this for as far back as Jerry in Australia.
Mm-hmm. It's usually also always
women. Yeah.
Which is weird, because I almost guarantee that at some point, men are sitting there talking about, oh, I want to have a steak when I get home.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have a burger. Like, we're just not showing that?
Yeah.
So.
Because
it doesn't fit my narrative, Jared.
That's exactly it. And, like, the gender narrative of, like, it's very rare for men to be called annoying on Survivor. There's some. I mean, Philip gets called annoying constantly.
Thank you.
But it is way more common for women to get the label of annoying than men.
Okay.
There's just something gendered there.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt's saying, like, you're killing me, Smalls. Come on. I just want to get to the duel. I told God that I'm here until he wants me to be out of here. I'm in it for the long haul.
Sure, man. I mean, yeah, what at this point, fuck it. God's on your side. God's on his side. God is another contestant in Survivor at this point because he just he gave Matt the tiles. I can't believe this. I can't believe this fucker's about to come back in the game, except maybe he injures his foot to the point that he can't.
Mm.
Like, that's kind of what they're teasing next episode. And that would fit in, by the way, with like this becoming like the best possible version of this twist to like the worst possible version, which is one guy runs almost the entire gauntlet, gets injured right before the final duel, and somebody who got voted out at the previous vote comes right back in the game. That is the worst version of that.
That would be a bummer.
Yeah. And it, they're teasing that that's what's going to happen. I'm done betting against Matt, I guess. But at the same time, an injury is significant, and it looks like the next one is going to be the, hey, stand on these like small pieces challenge, which is hard to do with a fucked up foot.
It is.
And Sarita is smaller than Matt, which makes it easier for her.
So wait, sorry. I am going to put you on the hot seat at this moment.
Fuck.
Because you did say, I'm done.
I wanted to have my cake and eat it too, Steven.
Yeah, I know. Who wins this duel and gets back in the game?
I want it to be Matt.
Okay.
I think, God, but they've baited me out so many times. I think it's Sarita.
Okay.
Because of the challenge and the injury he mentioned. Of course, the injury could be a red herring. It could be something that's small. Like, the next line he says could be like, but I bandaged it and it feels fine now. Like, I don't know. If there wasn't that little bit in there about, like, him hurting his foot, I would say Matt.
Okay. Cool. Thank you for your answer.
I have been wrong every single time. Or most every single time.
Sidebar, where does Red Herring come from? I'm assuming it's, like, a book or a novel at some point.
I have no idea. This is my guess. It'd be murder mystery, is my guess.
Right.
That's, like an Agatha Christie.
That, yeah. 100% where my brain goes.
But I don't know.
If you know the history of Red Herring, send in an email.
We could look it up, but we have a quick turnaround today.
I got things to do, like edit this episode. Anyway, over at Ometepe, Philip and Rob are going to go. Philip volunteers, and Rob's like, all right, I'm going with you. Because, one, Philip says, I don't trust Rob anymore. And Rob's like, I don't trust Philip to keep his mouth shut.
I feel kind of bad for the people who had to make up all of these rhymes to say the same thing like 8 times in a row. Like, just, all right, pick somebody, pick people going.
So this is a fun little arc that I like to call. Philip is really knowledgeable of Japanese swordsmen,
but he's not.
Jared, how could you say something controversial?
I'm also not an expert, but like, well, several of the details that he put in there, from my understanding, very limited understanding, are more cultural, like things that you pick up from media rather than things that are actually true history.
Do you think he's just a nerd and was watching like anime VHSs while he was out on
I think this particular type of guy gets really into the mythology of warrior classes throughout history when really the actual, like, what was going on is far less glorious and is actually usually kind of either like boring or gross.
Do you think he has a mounted samurai sword on his wall?
Almost guarantee it.
Do you have a sword on your wall?
I have 3 swords and a quarterstaff on my wall, but they're all stage combat weapons.
That was unfair of me to say that because I knew the answer.
Yeah,
but
you
just like it's different. It's very different. You use them. I'm assuming. When was the last time you used those swords?
It's been a long time, but I have used them all.
Okay.
I'm not just going to throw them away.
Yeah, he talks about Minamata Musashi, famous Japanese horseman who wrote a book called The Five Rings. Let your enemies move first. Rob likes to be extremely controlling. Nobody's controlling me. And Rob's like, he's not going alone. He needs a chaperone. He's the most unaware person I've met in my entire life.
Which, like, the problem with Rob in the previous seasons has actually been not controlling enough sometimes with, like...
Hold up, really?
Well, I mean, like, losing control of the split vote with Tyson, not going after Jerry enough. I guess it kind of goes back and forth. And it is, like, how controlling someone should be is always, like specific to the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of Rob as being an overly controlling leader. Like, maybe manipulative, but those are different things.
Interesting. I guess I just look at him as, like, always needing control. You're right. The downfall in previous instances are him losing control. So, you might have a good argument here.
And then Boss of Rob says that Philip is the most, like, or the least observant person ever. And I go, yeah, man. That's right.
Hooray. We watch the duel. Ralph and David are watching from Zapatera. It's a memory game. Literally just memory. You flip over tiles, 1 to 5 wins.
But even this is like, they got, of the way these duels could have gone, they all went in really interesting ways. Mm-hmm. Like, this was entertaining.
Yeah.
The format, the foundation of what they're doing is kind of dumb, but, like, it was tense for a game that should be kind of boring to watch. The stakes were there.
I have a strategy question for you, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
As a gamer that I, yep. I like to consider you, and maybe myself a little bit, you are Stephanie here.
Mm-hmm.
You won the rock, paper, scissors. Do you go first or do you go second?
You go second. That blows up in her face because Matt gets incredibly lucky and then she gets incredibly lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But the mistake that they both make, which I've screened about before in these memory games, is if you flip one over and the other one has not been flipped over, go flip one over that you already have shown so that you don't risk giving them information to capitalize off of.
You're right.
There's a point at which Stephanie's so far behind that she just has
to. You gotta do it.
But, like, it's such, like, that's the first thing you should be thinking of.
I almost argue, especially in a game of this scale, where there's only 9 matches total.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you, I'm sure there's more, and maybe it was 10 total matches, so that you can't just win on next.
No, I think it's 9.
Was it just 9?
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible, because it was in a square.
Oh, you might be right.
But I'm arguing that maybe you go first, just in terms of, like, having the advantage of taking more turns could turn the tide of this game.
But you risk, like, in most of the ways, like, if Matt doesn't get the one out of however many chance it is, and it's a slim chance of getting a match on the first one, you've now given your opponent 2 tiles of information. If they flip one of those 2, which is a way higher chance, then you are now going to be behind.
You're right.
So that's how I would play it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I don't know. I would maybe go the opposite, but it doesn't matter because I'm not playing this game. Like you said, Stephanie gets a pair immediately, but Matt goes first. Matt gets a pair. Stephanie gets a pair second round. So, like, man, we're just lucky for lucky's mm-hmm. sake here. And then things slow down, except Matt gets one. Matt gets another. Stephanie gets one, Matt gets another, and Matt ends up winning, I think, 5-3.
Yeah.
So, boy, they were doing so well, and then the mistakes start to pile on, theoretically, as the game is getting easier.
Yes. Yeah, but that's just because they got lucky in the beginning.
Right.
So, but I don't know, it was interesting enough, but, like, this whole premise just seems bad. This whole, it seems so underbaked when the show got so lucky with how these have all played out, and I still just, like, don't care. Like, I care when I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minute we're no longer at Redemption Island, I do not care anymore.
Hot take, I do like this here, because it would be so easy to give a physical challenge where Matt would just dominate Stephanie.
Oh, I meant, like, the whole conceit.
Oh, okay.
I meant, like, all of the duels.
Got it.
Like, every single one we're watching it, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. Like, a lot of them have been close. I'm, like, on the edge of my seat. And then the minute we cut away from Redemption Island, I don't give a shit about it anymore.
I, hot take, like duels. I think that they're interesting, and it gives you a little bit of a, all right, I can control a little bit of this game where I have zero control. Someone has control. Someone always has control. But I think it works better in a situation where we are today. You make the episodes 90 minutes, then you're not losing so much time focusing on this third island.
I think the stakes are too low. I think just, like, I mean, Matt's, no, but, like, Matt has won, like, how many of these? 5? And he's still not back in the game. So, like, all it does, the stakes are just go do another one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because, like, I guess, yeah, he can...
Or go home,
but you already got voted out, so in my brain, you're already no longer in the game. Like, you're not playing the rest of the game, so the stakes are get a chance to come back in, but that has meant for 7 episodes, those stakes have not paid off. And it's going to feel really fucking bad if Sarita comes in, wins 1, and is immediately back in the game, and it's going to feel like, why did we do any of that then?
I didn't think I would come into this podcast being the Redemption Island... defender, but here we are.
The Redemption Island, the season, I very much like. Redemption Island, the concept, I don't care, no matter how much they want me to. And honestly, it kind of feels like the show doesn't even want me to.
Ooh.
Like, we don't put any real focus or emphasis on it outside of the times we're there.
Okay.
Like, Jeff doesn't bring it up in Tribals. He just says, he'll get another chance. Contestants don't bring it up as hardly ever. Like, there's been one or two times they've been like, ah, but they might come back. It doesn't really feel like a factor. It feels like a distraction. And, like, there's a world where Sarita wins, comes back in, and gets immediately voted out.
That is absolutely a possibility.
So, like, well, then who fucking cares at all?
All right. Cool. Stephanie has a little moment of letting go of the dream sucks. I feel like there are people who don't deserve to be here. That's always a hot take of the you're on your way out the door. Ugh. There are people who just don't deserve it.
I mean, she said it several times when she was on Zapata.
She did. And set pivots to Ralph. Ralph, I know you think Dave is the weak link. Dave sitting right there. Because he voted with me. But Sarita is. Dave's the only one who can do puzzles.
The only thing she hates more than going home is being wrong. So she is going to convince them that she was right to vote for Sarita.
Ironically, her pitching to the one person who will not have his mind changed in this episode.
Right.
And she says, do you want to take on that responsibility to do the puzzles? And Ralph's like, I will if I have to.
No. Only if you're a tribe of one.
She then pivots to Boss and Rob, and Rob's like, she says, look out, Rob. Don't trust these people. They're going to gun for you.
This is better than when Russell did this. Like, I liked her version of this better than when Russell went home. Because he did the same thing. Go to the crowd and, like, talk to them and try to set the game. Like,
yeah.
I thought hers was more effective.
One last little bit of influence in this game that you're about to leave.
And, like, she's coming back, so that's fine.
All right. How do you think she does in Future Survivor?
The thing that she needs to fix is that she cannot be so combative. And she needs to be okay with, like, she needs to lose battles. Like, she needs to be okay with losing battles and going with a group consensus. If she can do that, I actually think she could be a very good player. Like, it's clear to me that she understands where everyone is at in the game and what buttons to push, but she's just way too obvious with pushing them. So without that, I think she is probably at risk of being in early boot a lot of the time. Not, like, right away, because she's good enough in the challenges that there will probably be somebody worse than her. But she's giving away too much of her game, too much of her hand, and I think she gets to vote out pre-merge most of the time. If she can clean that up and get her and not be so reactionary, I actually think she could be like a top three winner.
Okay.
Top three or winner, not like one of the top three winners in my rankings.
All right.
So when's she coming back?
She's not coming back.
That's fucking insane.
Kind of.
Okay.
We will technically see her at one point here. She is nominated to be one of the second chances players.
Okay.
She does not succeed in the vote.
That sucks. I think she's really interesting.
I think she's interesting too.
She has the, like, the it factor for TV. And, like, sometimes she's pushing it and sometimes she's trying too hard. Mm-hmm. But when she's just being herself, like, she is engaging.
Second chances is an interesting format where you're like, okay, just here are people, America, you decide. And again, America doesn't always get it right.
Sure.
And people pick their favorites. People will...
Steven, America does not always get it right.
I'm aware and I know exactly what you're insinuating, but in terms of Survivor, it's so hard to balance and to make things correct in ways beyond just, like, look at this tribe.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people are like, give us control. I'm like, no. I don't know, producers maybe should have more control.
Because everyone's picking their favorites, not thinking about the whole picture of the cast and the season.
Yeah. She does do a quarantine questionnaire, so I find that very funny. She says, almost been 10 years since Survivor. Can't believe it. I've been up to many things, primarily focusing on my career. I'm in the reality television industry on the production side. Enjoy it very much.
I wonder if that's maybe why she hasn't come back. I wonder if there's some conflict of interest there. If she was in that before Second Chances or after.
I don't know. Proudest moment, honestly, just being selected to participate. It's the most difficult part of the entire process, going into a casting meeting, and then they decide that you're a good pick for this amazing opportunity.
there's probably some networking there. That she, like, I wonder if she wasn't in reality TV, if she would, if her words would be maybe a little different.
Maybe.
But maybe not.
I mean, she says her biggest regret was not forming bonds with her entire tribe, like having a stronger relationship, and should have been the middle ground for those who opposed Russell and for those who saw him as an asset.
So, yeah, man, that's going to be one of my bigger, like, misses or, like, what-ifs of people who didn't come back, because I really liked Stephanie.
I found the most interesting is her what happened out there that will blow people's minds. She's like, yeah, we knew Russell. They were going to throw the challenge to get Russell out. Like, everyone knew. She's like, I regret not trying to do something about that. Like, not going to Jeff and being, like, tattling.
Well, he can't do anything about it.
I don't know what they would do, but at least it's something, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't make people participate in a challenge.
No.
Or, like, you can't, yeah.
I'm sure Jeff would have a field day with that, though.
Well, he might throw a fit about it, but, yeah. Like, what's he going to do?
He can't do anything.
He doesn't even like people quitting. He's not going to kick somebody off.
He might have, I could see this happening where he's just like, you don't want to participate in my challenge? Fine. You want to go to tribal council? Fine, go. I don't want you to participate in my challenge.
Yeah, I could see that. It would be an overcorrection, and I don't think he would do it, but I could also see them trying, or at least contemplating, throwing in some bullshit individual immunity challenge to be like, oh, you want to get Russell out? You want to, like, target somebody with throwing a challenge?
You gotta work harder.
We're going to do an individual challenge instead. Fuck you.
I could see that happening as well. So back at Redemption Island, Philip has to give his kudos to Matt. I'm impressed with Matt. The samurai had something called the Bushido Code.
Oh, but he said Bushido.
He definitely did say Bushido.
He knows so much about the Bushido Code that he doesn't know how to say it.
You are a samurai warrior, Matt.
Samurais, okay, like, I don't need to go into the whole history of it. I don't even know the whole history of it, but, like, samurais were not necessarily, like, noble, good warriors. They were kind of, like, hired goons for feudal lords.
Yeah, they were, like, cops.
It was, well, not even. They were more like mercenaries.
They were mall cops.
And, like, the whole, like, elevating of them wasn't really done until Japan switched mostly to an economic, like, office workers and stuff. That's why bows were way more popular weapon than a sword.
Mm.
But swords look better on a wall than a bow.
Yeah.
And so the sword became the symbol rather than the bow. It's, anyway.
Are you saying that a far-right country would have a heavy reverence for armed forces?
I might be saying that.
Okay, got it. Crazy. It's crazy to think about. In my brain, I don't conflate Japan as, like, this far-right country, but they are.
They are.
They definitely are.
And, like, it's not a perfect access because, like, things that are, not everything is, like, left to right in certain cultural contexts. So, like, there are things that they are conservative on, we would see as liberal and whatever, but not many. There's also, okay, small little history tangent. I learned this recently. I find it fascinating. I can't remember if it was the Japanese Imperial forces that occupied Manchuria, or if it was the Chinese government when they were in control of Manchuria in the 1930s. I want to say it was the Japanese Imperial forces. There was a not insignificant, and maybe still is, population of Jewish people that lived in Manchuria because either the Japanese government or the Chinese government or both, like, heard the Nazi propaganda, and they were like, wait, a race of people that, like, are good with money and control everything, get them the fuck over here. Hell yeah. Like, they were trying to get them to move there because it was like, oh, they're powerful? Awesome. Love that for us. Buck wild.
They were in the Axis powers.
Yeah, but that was more of an alliance. Okay, we're on a side, on a whole fucking tangent. That was an alliance of convenience, not one where they necessarily aligned on everything.
You're right. They were very far away from each other in the map. I read an article about racism in Japan today, so I'm just like, I'm on something.
I love the Yakuza games, and they deal with that a lot.
Do they really?
Oh yeah. And their track record with it is hit or miss. The Kiwami 2 is okay with it, but the whole main plot of Kiwami 2 is like, but what if we had wiped out a Korean gang and then 20 years later they pretended to be Japanese and infiltrated these different areas and then activated, like, sleeper cells?
Sure.
So it's like, any of us could be Korean is kind of the plot. And that comes up multiple times in the series.
That's so dumb.
But it's also kind of wrestling with, like, oh, but they weren't treated very well. And, mm-hmm. like, they shouldn't have been eliminated. Like, that gang shouldn't have been eliminated. So it's interesting. Anyway.
Sure. Anyway, we should get back to Survivor.
Yeah. Bushido.
On their way back to camp, Philip's like, are we going to hide any info? And Rob's like, no, we're telling them everything.
Although, I don't understand this from Rob, because then he goes and he's like, I'm going to go badmouth Philip to the tribe mm-hmm. so that his stock goes down. I'm like, Rob, you're the only one that has stock in Philip. I guess Andrea. But you are the one that's been keeping him around. And right. The fact that you've only lost one challenge
yes.
since then.
Yes. And... yeah, he goes around and he's like, he's bad-mouthing him. He was praying for him to say something stupid like that so I can throw him under the bus. So then he tells everything that...
But you didn't, you're the one that put him on the bus. He was laying in front of the bus and you pulled him onto the bus and everyone else is getting a second bus to run him over and you're like, all right, let's drag Philip back out.
Jared, everyone needs a mobile speed bump.
That's fair.
You put it on the bus, you wait until you need it, and then you go put it on the road. Great. Rob tells everyone what Stephanie says, and then he throws Philip under the bus. As he walks away, he's like, all the attention on him. I'm free to do what I need to do. Great.
Which is what you always were. Oh, wait, no, what is it?
What is what?
What is it that he wants to do that he hasn't had the freedom to do?
Oh, I think he just wants to, like, have... a little manipulative control over everyone.
I mean, he is using the unifying theory of fuck that guy.
It's a great theory.
It's not a bad play to, like, keep around the guy everybody hates so that we can all keep hating him.
Yeah. And then the comedy of Philip falling in the background.
Yeah.
You okay, Philip? Doesn't respond.
You just can't get caught doing it. You can't get caught saving that guy.
Yeah. And then Philip says, there's not going to be a blind side with Rob. I'm going to front side him. Or no, sorry.
Rob says about Philip. He's like, I'll just tell him if we lose the challenge. He's going home.
He's going home.
He doesn't worry about the idol.
Episode by episode, do I want to keep him around? Do I want to get rid of him? Do I want to keep him around?
These two are in such a love-hate relationship, with the love being in front, but both them... like, for Rob, it's love public, hate private. For Philip, it's love and hate public, love and hate private.
Over at Zapatera, Ralph... Ralph is like, oh, she was cheering for them, and Dave's trying to defend her. This is a weird look on both sides. Like, Ralph is trying to be like, oh, fuck that lady, and Dave's like, she wasn't that bad.
Well, I mean, I think Dave was doing the thing where he was technically right again.
Like,
where,
yes.
Because Dave is like, she didn't say anything you wouldn't expect her to say. And that is true. Yeah. Almost everything she said is a version of what she said at camp. But it's not the time to pick this battle.
Correct. I don't think what he said was wrong at all, but he didn't need to say it, especially in the position that he is in.
That's an important distinction to make, and I wish that my winner pick wasn't tied to Dave. Also, it's a small sidebar again. Where's Zapata's roof? Why do they not have a roof over half of their shelter?
It did not clock this.
It's the whole episode. It's more than half. It's actually like 3/4 of the shelter. Why are you... build a roof! It's the rainforest. Maybe that's why you're losing challenges. Y'all ain't fucking sleeping.
Maybe they took it off to dry or something.
For the whole episode?
I don't know, man. Okay. I'm trying to find any sort of rationale that makes sense at this point in the game. Yeah. As David's walking away, Ralph's like, yeah, we can't trust David either. He's going to flip the minute he goes.
He goes, no one respects a flipper. Girl, have you seen this game? That most people who have won have flipped at some point.
And he's like, you gotta look at lawyers that way. They think that they're above everyone else here.
Okay. I mean, lawyers have that stink on them. And Dave is like that.
Dave has
fair.
A little bit of that stink on
but
him.
But there's a lot of different types of lawyers.
Yeah. What is the most positive lawyer you could put into this game?
I mean,
a human defender. Human rights lawyer?
Human rights lawyer. Well, actually, I don't know. Human rights lawyers are obviously super important. Stand by them. A lot of people that are going into that work are probably...
grizzled human rights lawyer.
No, I'm thinking the other side. They're Sarita. They're corporate speak. They're very much like... And, like, that's not a bad thing in life. It's not a great thing in Survivor. I think probably public defender. People that are used to working with whoever is just given to them.
Sure.
As opposed to, like maybe a corporate lawyer that has to be a little more buttoned up, I guess. I don't know.
So to kind of hammer home that subject, Dave's like, hey, we should really fish because there's a storm a-brewing and it's pushing fish in. And people are like, no, we're not doing that. It's awful out there, and we don't think that's going to make sense. And Ralph's like, no.
Yeah, Dave says that the river will wash out the bait fish, which will bring in the big fish. Ralph says it's too muddy, so nothing's going to be hunting right now. I'd probably go with Ralph. Seems like he would know what he's talking about.
Sure. I don't see any problem of trying.
There's also that.
So I'm just like, whatever. If he wants to go do it, or we want to go do it for an hour and say, this isn't working.
The worst option is, or the worst case scenario is, you still don't have fish.
Right.
Okay.
I see no problem in just giving it a shot.
But these people are sick of each other.
Yeah.
Or at least Dave is sick of them and they're sick of Dave.
Steve says David's getting tough to stomach. Sarita wants to punch him in the face, remove that smirk. He isn't savvy at the social game at all. You may be right. Ralph.
Sorry, what's up with Dave's walking stick?
I don't know.
The whole episode, he has a walking stick. And I was like, is this just a vibe for you?
You've never just, like, grown attached to a stick and say, this is my stick.
That's a good point. Okay.
Over the course of 30 days, I would absolutely find stick.
It's his emotional support stick.
You, me, stick. We're going to be best friends.
We'll have our own tribal council.
You got to talk to someone, right?
That's true. Nobody wants to talk to Dave.
And Ralph says, it doesn't take someone smart to win this game. And then says something that I did not understand even slightly. Surviving ain't much punkin. He's got to go.
Yeah, I didn't even turn on the subtitles for that because I went, I'm not going to understand what he's saying.
I did, and I didn't understand. I don't think the subtitle writer understood. So,
like, dude, I guess that's what he said. All right.
Ometepe, we're eating rice, but Rob wants the burnt crispy stuff at the bottom. But Philip, and I really think he just perked up at hearing Rob want that and goes, I want that.
He's just doing drama for drama's sake.
Yeah.
And it is a funny, and like Philip is kind of worn on me, and I do see more of the cracks of like, oh, it now feels like Philip wants to be on TV.
Mm.
But the editing is really funny of like close up on Philip's eyes, and then they're talking about the rice, and then back to a close up of Philip's eyes, like it's just like a psycho montage.
So, yeah, he says, I want some of that crispy rice. I don't see why one scoop of the crispy rice matters, because they're saying, well, it's Rob's. Rob likes that stuff, and he hasn't had any yet.
He's eaten.
So that's left for him. You can have some of this like other stuff in there. He goes, well, I want the crispy ones.
Why are you doing this, Philip? Have you just determined you can't win, and so you're just going to try to be on TV a lot? I don't get it. And I think, I don't know, like, Philip doesn't want to be here anymore, I think, and this is just how he is coping with that fact. I mean, he tells us in a confessional, he's like, I'm not going to quit. But that tells me that you kind of want to, even if you're not going to do it. Like, why bring that up? That wasn't what any of us were talking about.
We all made this. We're all entitled to whatever, which I go, that's a very boomer mentality right there.
Yes, it is.
Or I'm entitled to that crispy rice.
He is very entitled.
Rob. I'm sick and tired of them giving deference to him. They sleep in his underwear. They literally sleep in his underwear.
Really?
Citation needed.
But like, that's
it's a very
odd.
Specific thing. So I'm like, it must have come from somewhere, right?
He reiterates it and says, like, I mean that literally, which is okay. I mean, we have also heard that like the women are encouraged to not bring a lot of clothes.
That's so, what I was thinking. Yeah. Is like Rob has shorts. Maybe he's just like, I don't know. Maybe this underwear helps.
Yeah.
It'd be weird. I don't know that I would wear someone else's underwear.
I think if you're that cold, who gives a fuck?
Valid. First opportunity I get, I'm going to eliminate him.
Just an absolute crash out for no reason.
And then they fill Rob in on this, and he's like, oh, well.
The one person besides Andrew who likes you in this game, and you're like, you're just going to burn that bridge?
I'm a 52-year-old man, and the oldest in this tribe. In any other world, I am given the deference simply because of my age.
It's such a fucking boomer mentality. Oh my god.
It's pretty, yeah.
And he's Gen X, but that is a boomer mentality.
It really is. It's, I mean, is that a military mentality as well? Like, usually
a little bit?
Usually the people in the military who are the oldest are, like, up in the ranks. Not always.
Not always. And, I mean, that's why Mike acts like that, right? You got a good point. No, he's a 52-year-old throwing a temper tantrum.
Am I feeling part of the tribe? Hell no. Am I still giving 100%? Hell yeah.
110%.
You're right.
I'm over him.
Immunity challenge.
He stuck around too long.
Yeah. Immunity challenge. We are playing a game. I think we've seen this almost exact challenge last season.
Kind of.
It's pretty darn close. Because they are running through hay, ropes, and brick walls. They are getting bags from a spring that are high up in the air. They have to also crawl under the ropes. And then this is where it differed, I think. They had to throw 6 balls from the bags into a tiny little basket that's high up in the air.
Yeah, because last season it was literally the 3 little pigs.
Yes.
But this season they got rid of, what would it be? It'd be straw. The sticks. And they crawled instead. And then this is a good challenge. And this season, we are clearly in the every other season has the budget for the challenges part of Survivor that we've always kind of had, but it's getting worse. Like Nicaragua, very low budget challenge season. This one a little higher. It's weird to mention that this episode when it's literally the same challenge. But the ending of this challenge sucks. Everything up to it, very cool. Very fun. The ending with the balls in the basket sucks.
I didn't hate it. It could have been more specific.
There is no climactic build of 6 people standing around kind of throwing balls up into a hoop.
What modern Survivor would do is they would remove 3 of those balls and have one person shoot that basket.
And you'd have to do it from like a specific distance, not just like underneath it going,
sure.
I'd hope.
Yeah. Anyway, they're playing for obviously immunity, but also for a chance to go via helicopter to a picnic on top of a volcano with fruit, cheese, chocolate, alcoholic, and non-alcoholic beverages, Natalie.
Weird to point. He's never done that before. He would just say beverages, but okay, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any thoughts on this challenge before I speedrun it?
Well, something important does happen, that Sarita chokes with the first bag, and then Dave takes over.
Yep.
And I think that is actually very important to why he stays.
I
will
agree.
Say too, Rob, very smart to just like throw the bag instead of trying to like unwind it. And what I did notice too is that when you had the bag off, it got way harder for the other side. So like the time that Zapata gets off first, because there's no weight
counterbalance.
Yep. Exactly. It really fucked up getting the bags off there. So if you could get way ahead on getting it off, you had a huge advantage. But none of it matters, because then we spend 15 fucking minutes throwing balls into a hoop.
I mean, that's what Survivor likes, baby.
And Grant is just carrying all of Ometepe on his back. He makes like 4 of the 6 of these.
He does.
He won the last challenge single-handedly almost.
Like, I literally wrote down it's Grant versus Steve trying to throw this together.
The NFL players. The problem with why Zapata keeps losing isn't because they wrote it out Russell. I mean, their tribe division doesn't help them, but it's because of Grant.
We're giving much more opportunity for Grant to be focused here and let him just dominate these challenges.
And then the one challenge Boston Rob won basically on his own. You have a tribe that was very top heavy in terms of like 2 people that were absolute challenge beasts. And now we've had a bunch of challenges that 1 to 2 people can kind of win on their own.
Okay. Yeah, and I also want to highlight Philip being a little bit of a drag during the rope climb section, where he gets through the first section and then like is trying to climb up the ropes, and Rob's like, turn around, we go this way.
And it's just, I get it, they're tired, they're hungry, don't be too hard on them, but like everyone else is going the other way. At no point do you just realize that everyone's doing that and turn around, but you're just gonna be a stubborn old man trying to force your way through a net wall.
He's just, he's wrapped up in his own business. Yeah. Anyway, Ometepe wins. It's a good time. At the end, after, like when they're heading back to get their, the idol, Rom's like, we almost lost you, Philip. And I go, in more ways than one, you say.
A double entendre.
Also, in that challenge, it was raining to the point that it was just a lake.
It was flooded at the end, yeah.
People were losing shoes.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem fun to be doing that.
No.
Philip, to cap this off, some tribes advance boldly. Weak tribes grow agitated, but superior tribes, like ours, find a way to win.
Do you remember like 10 minutes ago in episode time when you talked about how much you hated your tribe and how they didn't like you? Okay.
I was going to say the same thing. Thank you, Jared.
But he also does it like he's the front of like a CD cover with like the idol and like leaning it, like laying down, leaning towards the camera, like kissing the idol. I was like, okay, Philip.
Cameraman did good work on that one.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like college basketball kid who won the championship and is like cradling his baby trophy.
Yeah.
All right. They go, they have their grand old time on the volcano. They eat.
Same volcano as last season, I imagine.
I think so, yeah.
The one they like sledded down.
Rob says it's the coolest reward he's ever been on. I've never been on an active volcano before. Grant says, I'm looking down on it right now. I could just fall in and no one would ever see me again.
Okay, Grant, maybe don't listen to that call of the void.
Maybe go the...
Don't let the intrusive thought win, Grant.
Sit on the other side of the rim, please.
Yeah, right.
So that all happens. They eat their food. Everything's great. Rob outgames everyone again. Basically goes, ah, those cookies, those are cylindrical shaped.
It's really smart.
I'm going to eat one of those because that's where the clue's going to be, obviously.
And I'm going to start passing them out so that I can dig for it.
Yep. It's great. It's yeah. So smart. So then he gets the clue and in confessional goes, I don't need this. Whoop, into the volcano. That's a great way to get rid of a clue.
That is probably the moment where Survivor went, maybe we'll just stop giving them clues.
God, it's so smart though. It is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right.
He's just running laps around these people.
Then we get to the Zapatero of it all. Serena's like, all right, who is it? Obviously Dave. And she's playing this like coy, but she knows who she wants.
Yeah. Like, who else could it be? It's either you or him. Mm-hmm. And like, that should be obvious.
But then she plays devil's advocate here. And she goes, do we feel comfortable losing the puzzle guy?
Yeah. And she goes, and she says, I wrote down her quote. I'm paraphrasing, but like, I'd say you guys should vote me off if I thought Dave was better than me, but I don't. And I know what she's trying to do.
She's trying to go for team strength.
Well, she's trying to take the argument that they could have in their heads and debunk it. Say, like, you're thinking that I'm weaker than Dave, so I'm going to address that point directly. However, you just now put that point back to the front of their mind and did the exact opposite of what you were trying to do.
It's so ineffective here, and I can't say it's the reason she goes, but it certainly does not help her.
It's borderline like a sales pitch. Like, I don't remember what she does for work, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's in sales to be like, now I know what you're thinking and I'm going to address that concern, but that's not a good idea when you're on the hot seat, Sarita. Mm-hmm.
But then we go to where it's just Ralph and Sarita, and then she flips it. Ralph says Dave was great today, but can we trust him, says Sarita.
Yeah, but that Ralph's her main guy.
I know.
So, yeah.
Again, why are you even like entertaining the idea that like he needs to go? It's either you or him.
Yeah, there's no other targets. And I mean, you know, we don't know whether our conversations were had. Maybe the vote was more obvious than it looked, and it was just they showed Ralph and Sarita talking because Ralph's the one person who has her back.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, and I would have preferred to keep Dave around. I like Dave better, although I don't dislike Sarita. Y'all are really close to a merge. On the flip side, if there is one more challenge until the merge, then you really need to win that fucking challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can see it both ways.
Sure. So then Sarita says, Dave has a chance to beat the boy wonder there. And if he does, he'll come back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah. That is the other wrinkle, too, is that like if you send Dave and Dave wins and comes back, he's not with you.
Mm-hmm.
He is against you. He might, even if it tanks his own game, I think he would go after each of them.
And then the rest of this is basically everyone repeating the same line of, I don't really trust David, but Sarita's super weak. So what are we going to do? It's a catch-22.
Yeah.
You lose or you lose.
I don't know if it was the right call. I don't know.
Ooh.
Hmm. It'll depend on how on what you think about Dave. I would trust Dave not on the intentions level, but on I know how he's going to react level. Like, I can predict what Dave's going to do versus, like, yeah, Sarita might be loyal, but, like, I don't think she's a great player of Survivor. I don't know.
I think there is the Redemption Island of it all.
Yeah.
And I can see Sarita coming back and being kinder to everyone
That's true.
That voted her out versus Dave, who's going to be like, nah, fuck you.
That
I'm going to those people.
Scorched and salted.
Yeah. So, anything else before Tribal Council?
Nope.
Cool. At Tribal Council, Jeff is just kind of doing his thing here. He's setting people up to knock them down, because Ralph says, we was ahead when we got to the boss, and Jeff's like, whoa, can I stop you there? David, are these excuses? Or
he says, like,
let me finish this sentence. Excuses are for, and David goes, losers? Points to Ralph.
But he said it with a lot more enthusiasm, and I was like, oh, Dave, you shouldn't, I don't know if I'd take that bait, but okay. And Ralph goes, then I guess I'm a loser.
Yeah, I guess I'm a loser then. But, like, Jeff, that seems weirdly heavy-handed.
It does seem heavy-handed and puts David in a bad spot. It doesn't end up hurting him, but, like, yeah, it's a little too much for me.
Because it's not like, again, we don't see all of it, but it's not like Ralph was, like, avoiding questions here.
No.
He was, I don't think he was eloquent with his answer, but he
really?
Wasn't like
shocking.
He wasn't like, oh, I'm trying my best not to answer what you're saying.
Yeah, he says a very specific point of view. But like Jeff really, I feel like, is just trying to hammer home, don't throw challenges.
Yeah, he goes at this whole thing like, you threw the challenge, you've since then you've lost 3 or 4 challenges. Julie
only
says
one over half.
Julie says, yeah, it could be bad karma, but we thought at the time we could just lose one.
Yeah.
You know what? Valid.
Dave says they have a cohesion problem,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge unforced error, because you are not as cohesive with the tribe as Sarita is, so you should not be saying that, Dave. It's the truth, but you should not be saying that.
But like you said, he points out that we were all united in our fuck Russell of it all.
Yeah.
And he then points out that this other tribe, they're all joking and laughing and have a great time. They're all friends.
Wait till he gets to talk to Philip.
And then Ralph admits, I don't know what cohesive is.
Well, yeah, and then because Jeff gives him two options, or it's a question,
mm-hmm.
and Ralph, do you have the interaction written down? I'm struggling to recap it.
I didn't write down exactly what he says.
Oh, I think it was about the, would you rather have strong workers or, like, a team that worked better together in your job back home? And Ralph,
no, 'cause that comes right after this, but
I think
sure.
That was this, because then he says, or this, I think that's what I'm moving into.
Okay.
And Ralph says, I don't remember what Ralph says,
no,
but
no.
Jeff's like, no, it was a question.
Yeah, Jeff asks, would you rather strong guys that don't get along or not as strong that work well together, like, even on your construction crew or whatever he's talking about? And Ralph's like, I disagree.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to. It was a question.
And eventually we get out of him, I'd rather have strong guys if they work well together, yak 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 all the time, they don't get things done.
But then Ralph is, and I know that Ralph is not really keeping up with the thread of the conversation, but like, then you're making an argument for keeping David, but you want to keep Sarita. So everyone is in this tribal is arguing against the thing that they are going to do.
Yeah, it's pretty bananas. And again, David, trying to argue his loyalty, goes, I gave Stephanie my word that I would not vote for her, so I kept true to my word. And it's just this big mess. And he gets called out on it. I think Sarita calls him out. Like, but that's not your word to the six, which you already given your word to. He's like, I'm loyal to the six, but I'm not loyal to you specifically.
Which, like, I don't know. I agree with David there, and also, like, I don't know. It's hard to make that argument.
It is hard to make that argument, but I also agree. At some point, you have to go against the six. I think, one, holding yourself to the six is problematic in it all. And
it's a different way to play the game. It's not one that I tend to like, and it's a prisoner's dilemma. Somebody's going to defect.
Right. And you have to show loyalty, because that's what people will trust and respect you for. But yeah. Sarita says, he flipped on the hierarchy. I didn't flip on the hierarchy. I did what I thought was best for the tribe.
What a way up the hierarchy?
I wanted to point that out too. I find that fascinating that you say that word specifically.
Because there is a hierarchy in Survivor. It's, and you don't know what it is until the game is done.
But that means that you were insinuating that in that six, there is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I think what she was trying to say was the hierarchy of, like, them over Stephanie.
Correct.
But, yes, the double meaning there means like, oh, Dave, you were at the bottom and you were supposed to stay at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that, man, these people, I don't know, man. They're not, this is not a good tribal for them, for anybody.
Yeah, lots of bad feelings.
Well, except for Mike and Steve, who don't say a fucking word.
I mean, Steve, he disagrees with the Ralph, I'd rather have strong guys who don't, sure. Yep, yep, yep. But yeah, you're right, they basically stay out of it. And David says, everyone has their own opinions of what's best, me or Sarita going home. So be it.
Yeah, it feels like this was very much like a vote your conscience vote from everybody.
So then we vote, and Sarita's voted out on a 4-2 line. I wish I brought my stuff.
You didn't bring your stuff?
Bananas.
That is hubris. And I pointed out last vote that she was very sure that it was going to be Stephanie.
Yeah.
How can you be sure this time?
I don't understand this one. Like, either it was a last second flip job here, or they were really gassing her up. Like, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
She got played.
She did.
So.
All right. Your protagonist of the episode, Jared.
I mean, I think it's got to be Dave, right? There's a lot of Dave here.
Ew, David.
Ew, David. Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument, I guess, for like Boston Rob, but the vote's on Zapata again, and we get a ton of David. It really is shared David and Sarita. They're like siblings bickering the entire episode. So, but David wins, so I'll give it to him.
All right. Anything else before we shut it down?
What is this merge going to be?
What is this merge going to be?
What is this merge going to be?
Hmm.
It does feel like some of the Zapatas, like, while playing the game, I don't know, like, Sarita, you shouldn't get blindsided in this vote. Like, there's no excuse to not have your stuff. There's no excuse for this to be a blindside. So I'm interested to see how the rest of them manage to navigate the game.
Sure.
Because she sure didn't know how to.
I also find it interesting that Ralph didn't, like, clue her in that it could be a problem.
Maybe he didn't know.
Maybe. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me, I guess, at this point.
We know that there's a faction of three there. So, yeah.
All right. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, anything you want to promote?
I started playing Stardew Valley.
Oh, have you ever played before?
So, kind of. Apparently, if I am dating somebody and then I try to play Stardew Valley with them, that is the Grim Reaper of the relationship, because I've done that twice when I was like seeing somebody, and then like we'd stop seeing each other within like 2 weeks of starting the game.
You can't play that game.
I can play it alone. Can't end a relationship with myself. Well, I guess I can, but that's dark.
Jared.
I didn't mean it. It's just kind of how the words came out.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I know it's like a 10-year-old game. It's great. It's really fun. It's not cozy. People that say it's a cozy game are lying to you.
Mm.
You need to be optimally efficient to get the things you need to get done in a day. It is a sprint. Well, no, the game's long, so it's a marathon. But like each day is like, oh God, I have so many things I need to do today. But it's really fun. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
What about you, Steven?
I am going to promote. Today, I think I finally just like made a decision. We're in a district that is up for grabs this year. Like our current congressman is stepping down, is retiring.
Yeah, she's like 80.
Jan Schakowsky.
So like, thank God.
And we have a lot of people vying for one spot, and that's just is how our system is set up. And I don't know if you felt this way. There's a lot of people with good platforms.
Yeah.
Are they all viable candidates? Not necessarily.
The thing with being in a blue district in Chicago is that whoever wins the primary is going to win the election.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So electability is not, but you mean like what they can get done?
Even who can win that primary. Like, there are candidates that I like that have no chance in that primary because they're underfunded or just don't have the following that can make them viable.
Mm.
Like, they just, I could go to bat for them all day. Like, our current,
Alderman?
Not Alderman. Our current state senator, he's running in this race, and I'm going to get his name because I do like him. Mike Sibbins,
okay,
is a really good guy. Just can't win this race. So I am throwing my full support behind Kat Abigzala. Obviously, is a more controversial name out there and is kind of a spitfire. But you know what? I'm all for like young blood, and I think the girl, I guess, voting guide said it best. If she goes in there and she sucks, then fine, we'll vote her out in 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know that was the... I used the girl, I guess, voting guide. I didn't know that was the person they were kind of putting their weight behind.
They kind of copped out on this one. They went either Kat or Brucia.
Interesting. Okay, I need to do more research. I'm probably not in the same spot as you, but I want to learn more about like Biss and stuff like that, and people like that. So.
Sorry, I said her name wrong. Bushra.
Okay.
Bushra Amiwala also would be a good option, Skokie School Board District, but I'm going to go with the young gun who has something to prove.
Cool. That's not the universal opinion of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast yet, but wouldn't be a bad option.
I got a sticker for you, Jared.
Okay.
They're also the congressional office is like right next to a train stop that I use sometimes. So I was just like, oh, I should just grab things. So I went in and I was like, hey, can I get a lawn sign? And the guy who was running the office that day was like, yeah, we also have all of these things. If you want to put things in your window, have this. Have these stickers. We got snacks. Do you want some snacks? I'm like, ooh, all right.
I want to go buy for snacks.
Cool. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
We like snacks.
You'll get me in the building for snacks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.